Hey, good morning, Bereshis Rabbi Krohn. So we are on Ayin Zayin Amid Aleph at the very top by the new Mishnah. So we had up to this point had been talking about physical defects in a woman and whether the man has to can divorce her, etc. So now to be equal opportunity, we're going to talk about mumim or defects that are on the man himself. Hamaisha Neldu Bo Mumim. So a man who develops some sort of mumim after they're already married. Ein kofin oso lahotzi. You don't force him to have to divorce his wife, ostensibly because physical appearance is less important to the woman than it is to the man. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, he clarifies, b'med devar mamur, and what's the specific case we're talking about? But mumim katan, if we're talking about minor things. But if he has developed some sort of major defects, and we'll talk a little bit about what those are, we force him to divorce her, because in theory, she's willing to put up with minor things, but if he develops something very significant, she's going to have more of an issue of it. So now there's going to be two views of what we're really talking about. Rabbi Huda Tani Noldu. So the way Rabbi Yehuda taught the Mishnah was that when it says neldu, it means that they came after they were already married. And Chiya Bar Rav Tani Hayu. And Chiya Bar Rav taught the Mishnah that the mumim were already there from before when they were married. So in theory, there's two different ways of looking at it. So what's the difference between the two? Man Omer Neldu. So the one that says we don't make him divorce his wife if the mumim happened later on. They grew after they were married. Kol shekein hayu. They certainly wouldn't be a problem if they were there beforehand. Kasabra v'kila, because it could be assumed that the woman would have seen his condition and would have been willing to still move forward with getting married. Imand amar hayu. However, the one that says that when the mumim were there beforehand, that she accepted it, that in that case, and therefore he can't divorce her. Aval no do love, but if they develop later on, that's not so. The woman can demand the divorce. So the first opinion would say that since she has to deal with the fact that they appeared after they were already married, then she certainly would have to deal with the fact that they were there beforehand. And the one that said it's only where she knew about them beforehand, she doesn't have to in that case. Be willing to put up with them if they come about later on. So the first view kind of says that because she is stuck with it either way, she would have been stuck with it if he had him from beforehand. The other view says that, because she accepted it coming into it, therefore she doesn't have to accept it if they came upon later on. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel b'med devar mamur, and what are we talking about? But mumim katan, with small mumim. But with larger mumim kofin oso lahatsi, we force him to divorce her. The bishlam alaman to amar nodu. This makes more sense in theory to the one that says that these are mumim that came upon later on. Hainu deshaini being dolokatanim. That's why there's a difference between whether they're big mumim or smaller mumim. Ava laman to amar hayu. But if the one that says that the mumim were there from even before they were married, mylik dolim, mylik tanim. That why would there be a difference whether they're big mumim or small mumim? Hasvara v'kibla. She knew what his situation was, and she agreed to still get married to him, regardless of whether the fact he had a tiny mum or he had a giant mum. Kisvurahi k'shiachol akabo. What that means, and this was the opinion of Chiya Bar Rav, is that when she first got married, she saw she had this mum, and she thought she'd be able to tolerate it. V'achshav ein yachol akabo. Now that she's married with him, she realizes that it's more than she can bear. So based upon that view would say that she would be, that's why in that case it could be a difference about even the big mumim and the small mumim. The Elohen mumim gedolim. And these are the things that are considered major mumim. Peirush Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, he explained, kegon nismes eino, that he was blinded in one of his eyes. Nikta ayado, his hand was cut off. The nishbara rago, or his foot was shattered. And based upon that, those would be considered major defects, and therefore the woman can demand a divorce, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, if these occurred after they were already married. According to Rabbi Chiya Bar Rav, even if the condition was there beforehand and she accepted it because it's considered a large mum, She could change her mind and say, you know what, I thought I could live with it, but now I can't live with it. Itamar. Rav Abba bar Yaakov Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Halacha Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. The halacha follows Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel that a woman can demand this divorce if the husband has a major defect. Rabba Aram Nachman, halacha k'divrei chachamim. He says, no, the halacha follows the chachamim that the woman cannot demand a divorce even if he has large major defects. So the Gemara asks, Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi. Did Rabbi Yochanan actually say this here, that the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel? Why are we asking this question? Everywhere that there is an opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel taught in our Mishnah, halacha kamoso. So he already has like this outstanding view that he says the halacha is always like, the halacha is always follows this way, always follows Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. So why does he explicitly say here that the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel? Except for there were three opinions where he said that he didn't follow the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Those three opinions were about someone who's a guarantor, someone who gives a get and sidon, and another case. So the three cases are that, you know, there's a machlokes, and you know, note number 13 explains what they are, but they're three different specific things. But other than that, he always follows the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Our answer is Amorai Ninu, that it's a Machlokas Amorayim. Vileva the Rabbi Yochanan. And there's a Machlokas Amorayim about the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Bachana held that Rabbi Yochanan generally felt that he followed Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. But Rabbi Yaakov held that Rabbi Yochanan, you know, followed him most of the time, but only in specific instances, such as in our case. So that's why he felt the need to elaborate on it. Okay, moving on to another Mishnah. So this Mishnah is going to talk about a little bit more detail on what are these defects, what are these mumim. Ve'elu shekofen osu lahatzi. And these are the men that you force to divorce their wives for having these kind of defects. Mukashchein, a man that has boils. Ubal pulpius, and someone who has this disease called pulpius that we'll learn more about. And anybody who's in one of these professions that are considered repulsive, v'amekapetz, someone who gathers handfuls of excrement, v'ametzarif dechoshes, so someone who refines copper, and the Gemara will talk more about both of these professions and what they really meant, v'arbursi, and someone who's a tanner. In all of these cases, basically, the person is involved with, you know, using some sort of gross materials to do something that's really smelly or whatever it might be. So in these cases, the woman can demand the divorce of the husband, since what he does is really repulsive to her. Bein shahayu ad shlanisu, and that's true whether or not, if she had these mumim, if he had the mumim like we talked about, the mukashchein and the pulpus, whatever it is, even if she had them before she was married, ubein mishiyinisu nodua, whether they came after they were married. If he had them afterwards. Vakum Amar Rabbi Meir, and about all of them, Rabbi Meir said, Afal Pisha Hisna Imo, even though he might have made a tanai with her, might have stated out loud that she would marry, you know, that she has to marry him despite the fact that he has, you know, boils or whatever it might be. Yechol Hisha Tomar, she could always say later on, Sfura Hayisi Sha'ani Yechol HaKabal, I thought I'd be able to deal with it. V'akshav Eini Yechol HaKabal, but now I realize I can't deal with it. The Chachamim say, Mikabelas Yal Karcha, if he made a Tanai that she has to do it even if she doesn't want to, meaning he basically says that she has no way out. Chutz Mimukeshlin, except for the case, you know, she'd be able to get out of it and get a divorce, except for the case of Mukeshlin, Mibnei Shimimakpto, because by having relations with someone who's a Mukeshlin, it really causes like his whole, you know, his whole skin and his whole body to fall apart. So in that one case, she's able to still, demand a divorce, even if they made these very explicit stipulation that she's going to marry him, even if she comes to later not be able to deal with it. Omaisa bit Sidon, there was this something happened in Sidon, but Bursi Echad Shemes, that this tanner, this person who tanned materials, died without having children. Therefore, her what his wife was supposed to do yibum with the brother. V'hayila achborstein, his brother was in the same business. He was also a tanner. Amru chachamim, the chachamim say yichol hishatomar la'achicha ha'isi yichol kabel. Your brother, I could deal with the fact that he was a tanner. I liked him so much, I was willing to deal with it. L'cha ain yichol kabel, but you. I'm not down. I can't marry a tanner. You know, I just can't deal with it. Your brother, I was able to deal with you. I can't deal with, and therefore, she doesn't have to do yibum with him. Now the Gemara is going to talk a little bit more about these defects or repulsive professions, etc. My baal pulpis. What does it mean? Someone who is has this pulpis. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Reach Achotem. He has this kind of odor that comes out of the nose. The Masi Satan in a Braisa was taught Reach HaPeh. He has some sort of odor that comes out of his mouth. Some sort of odor coming out of him that's so disgusting that it's really repulsive. Rav Asi Masti Ibcha, he taught it the opposite way. Umanach Bei Simana, and he had a mnemonic to teach his version. I mean, his version was whether it was, you know, out of the nose or out of the mouth. Shmuel Lo Pasik Pumei Mikubli Pirkan. Shmuel's mouth did not cease from discussing the entire chapter. So he was always reviewing this chapter, and that basically teaches that Shmuel is the one that's associated with the view that it's the thing that comes out of the mouth and doesn't come out of the nose. Fine. Third defect in the Mishnah, Hamekapetz, someone who gathers handfuls. My Mekapetz, what is that talking about? What is he gathering? Rabbi Yehuda zo akabetz tzoas klavim. He gathers dog manure. Meisvei, that we learned this in a beraisa, maybe something different. Mekametz e bursi, maybe someone who gathers, is also just another way of saying that there's someone who tans. And, you know, I guess one of the ways that they would tan is they would gather dog manure for purposes of tanning. So it's talking about the same profession. And if you say that it's talking about that someone who's a tanner, the Mishnah should be problematic because it lists both things. So someone who gathers and someone who refines copper and a tanner. So if the person who gathers is the same as a tanner, why is it listed as a separate occupation, right? It should have listed just the two things, not the three things. So Bishlama Mastisin Lokasha. We can understand why it's not a problem with our Mishnah, according to the view that the gatherer of this stuff is talking about a tanner. Kan b'bursai gadol, kan b'bursai katan. Because we're talking about, I guess, there's two degrees of tanners. So when it talks about someone who's a tanner, it talks about someone who's, I guess, whatever this means, a large-scale tanner. I guess they do it on an industrial basis. And someone who's and when you talk about someone who's a gatherer, that's someone who's a small scale tanner. They're like just a, you know, individual person that does it, you know, ad hoc. It's like a poor person, and the way that he does it is by gathering the dog excrement. Ella Rabbi Yehuda Kasha, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's a problem because the Bereisa says that it talks about that gatherer of this gathering person is a tanner, and he says differently. So how do we solve Rabbi Yehuda? Tanahi, that it's a machlokas tanaim. The Tanya, we learned the Bereisa, mekametz ze bursai. The Mishnah, when the Mishnah says a mekametz, that talks about a tanner. V'yesh omrim, and there's some that say ze mekametz soas klavim. Some say no, that doesn't mean that they're a tanner. There's someone who gathers dog excrement for some other reason. And Rabbi Huda follows the second opinion. Okay, fine. Famitsarif Nechoshes Uarborsi, and someone who refines copper and a tanner. So my Mitsarif Nechoshes, what does the Mishnah mean when it talks about someone who refines copper? Rabbi Ashi Omer Chashleit Dudei. It's someone who is like a coppersmith who pounds out kettles. He takes copper and he pounds them out into sheets and he makes them into pots. And for whatever reason, that work makes him repulsive. Rabbi Bar Rachana Omer, Zeha Mechatek Nechoshes Mikaro, someone who mines copper from its source in the ground. Tani Kaveseid Rabbi Chana Ezu Mitzarev, who is the person who is referred to as a Mitzarev, a refiner. Zeha Mechatek Nechoshes Mikaro, that's someone who mines the copper from the ground. So it's either the person who's banging out the metals, and for whatever reason that's repulsive, or it's the person that has to dig all the way underground to get to the copper, and for whatever reason that makes him repulsive. Amarav, ha'omer eini zan v'eini mefarnes. So someone who says, I will not feed my wife, and I will not provide for her. Yotzi v'yitein ksuba. He has to divorce her and give her a ksuba. So Azar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar went, Amar l'shmate kamei de Shmuel, and he said this halacha before Shmuel. And Amar akusei shari la'azar. The Shmuel says what they should do is they should feed him animal food, meaning that he doesn't agree with the opinion. Acha, the meaning that what they should do is they should force the guy to feed her. Acha kosinov so lahotzi akaful lazun. That instead of forcing him to divorce her, they should force him to feed her. So in other words, he says, don't force him to divorce her. Force him to feed her instead. The Rab, but Rab doesn't like this. And he would say, Ein adam dar im nachash b'chafifa. A person doesn't want to live together, we've had this statement many times, with a snake in the same basket. You can't make the wife continue to live with a husband who's going to refuse to feed her, and they have to force him to feed her. Gesalik Rabbi Zera. When Rabbi Zera went from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkechei Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefes, he found Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefes, the Yasser, the Kamerlei, Mishmuel, Rabbi Yochanan, who was sitting and saying, Rav's ruling in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Amrlei, Rabbi Zera said to him, Ad da akusei sa'arin l'lazer b'Bavel. On account of this ruling, they fed Elazar barley in Bavel. So basically, they wound up agreeing with this opinion, that they have to, they force the guy to continue to feed, they force the guy to feed her, they don't force him to divorce her. More cases where the court can force a man to divorce his wife. Amar Rabbi Huda, Amar Rabbi Asi, Ein Ma'asin Elif Sulos. You don't force a man to divorce their wife unless they're married to women that they're not supposed to be married to them. You know, we'll talk about some of those cases. He amris kami de Shmuel, and when he said this halacha in front of Shmuel, Amar kegon, for example, almana lekod the kohen gadol. We know an almana, a kohen gadol can't marry an almana. Grusha v'chalutza lekohen hediot, and as well as a regular kohen can't marry in addition, can't marry a group, someone who's divorced or someone who's a chalutza. Mamzeres or Nesina Yisrael, someone who's a Mamzeres or someone who's a Nesina, one of the water carriers, can't marry Yisrael. Bas Yisrael and Nasa L'Mamzer, or even a daughter of Yisrael is not allowed to marry a Nasa or a Mamzer. Aval, Nasa Isha, Visha Yima, Esa Shana V'lo Yalda. But if someone who is okay to marry, man is okay to marry another woman, and they live together 10 years and they don't have children, so we know that there's a concept that he's supposed to, because the man has a halacha of pru or vu, there's a thing that maybe he should not remain married to her. So maybe he needs to get divorced to her. The Gemara says, ain kofino, so we don't force him to divorce her. We don't force him to divorce her in that case. Rab tachlifta baravime amr Shmuel, afil anasa isha v'sha ima esa shana v'lo yada kofino. So he says, no, this also, in this case as well, if someone is married, a man is married to a woman and they don't have children after 10 years, we do force him to divorce her. Tana, we learned in our Mishnah, ein kos kofin osa lahotzi. If the Mishnah says, these are the men that we force to divorce their wives, mukishlin, ubalpopius, those people who have those ailments. That means that maybe these are the only cases that you can force him to divorce the wife, but not other cases such as this case we're talking about, where they're married 10 years and they don't have children. Because even though he has the halacha pru or vu, we wouldn't force him to divorce the wife because it's not explicitly stated in our Mishnah. So Bishlam Amar Rav Asi. So it makes sense according to Rav Asi. Why, according to Rav Asi, our Mishnah excludes those things that are prohibited, such as an almana to a kohen gadol. The Rabbanan katani, because the Mishnah taught only those things where the Rabbanan required them to get divorced. Da'areksa lo katani, the things that are not allowed being da'areksa, the Mishnah didn't teach. Those cases where they're not supposed to get married, the Mishnah didn't teach them. They only taught those things that were da'rabbanan. Elu Rav Tachlifa Bar Avime. But according to him, so the Mishnah should have also taught this case where if they're married 10 years, then he has to divorce her. Gemara answers, I'm Rabbi Nachman, lo kasha. Hi, Bemile. In this case where they did not have children, we forced the husband through words, meaning we kind of verbally coerced him to do it. Hi, Vishote. But the other cases in the Mishnah, they could actually whip the guy to the point of forcing him to get the divorce. So it's a question of they could force him, but there's force with a capital F and force with a small F. Another answer, Ella Amarabi Abba, Hai Vahai Bishoti. In both these cases, they can whip the guy, whether it's the cases in our Mishnah or the case of where they're married 10 years. Moving on to Amud Beis. Hasa Ki Amre Havina Bahade. About when it comes to the to the defects, right, where if she still has these mumim and the wife says, you know what, I'll stay with him nevertheless, Shavi Kenle, we still let them remain, allow them to remain married. But when it comes to the case where they're married for 10 years, even if she's willing to play along, we do not let her do so. Gemara objects, Vahari Muke Shlin. In our Mishnah, there's a case of the person in Eshlin. The Afagav, the Amre Havina Bahade, that even if she says, I will stay with him, we lo shavi Kenle, we don't let her. The Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah. Chutzi Makish Shlin. In those cases, she can stay with him except for the case of Makish Shlin. Ibnei She Mekmata, because we said that when they have relations, it causes the skin to fall off. The Katani, and the Mishnah still taught this case. So why doesn't it also teach the case of the ones that don't have children? Hasam Ki Amra Dayarna Bahade Sade. There, in the case of boils, if she says that she'll continue to live with him, that works as long as she does this in the presence. She has to continue to live with him in the presence of witnesses to make sure that they don't have relations. Shaviknale, if she does that, then we let her do so. Hacha Afagav Darmina Darina Bahade Sade Lo Shaviknale. In this case, we don't allow them to remain married, even if they're going to have witnesses that they're not having relations, because the whole point is it's still not going to result in them having children. So let's pause here for today. Tomorrow, Mr. Hashem will continue and finish the parak. Everyone should have a wonderful day.